DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble-wubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Not Another Podcast. James is here. Danny's here.
Woo.
Samantha is here.
Woo.
Bryce is not here.
Fucker.
But Travis is here.
Hello.
We have a Travis.
So, and we're going to start right in on this because Samantha hit us up this morning with something that just sounded hilarious. So, Samantha, you got married.
I guess so, unbeknownst to me.
Son of a bitch.
You'd think that she would have invited us.
Pray tell. Fill us in upon your wedded bliss.
So, over the weekend, my birthday is tomorrow and my mom's is in two more days. So we were able to get together and have a birthday dinner, and it was my mom, my boyfriend, and my husband. myself.
Does your husband know about your boyfriend?
None of them know about each other. Be quiet.
Shut up, James.
I have a very delicate system. Very delicate system. So my mom works in inside sales for a meat distribution company, and we went to one of her restaurants, and it was delicious. I'm sorry?
Does Big Jim work with her?
No, unfortunately.
Is she looking for someone?
Yeah, she needs someone to tenderize all the meats before they go out. So she
might be interested.
So she knows the chef and like a lot of the wait staff and people like that. So we get there and she's saying hello to people. She's introducing me, her daughter, and she introduces Ryan as her son-in-law.
Wow.
I kind of was like, you know that scene where Stewie slowly looks at Brian with his eyes wide? That was me. I was like, her?
The fuck?
What?
Pretty sure somebody should have told me.
When she goes to the bathroom, Ryan's like, so I'm a son-in-law now? I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's just easier to say than my daughter's boyfriend. So, you know.
All right.
Did she then ask you about your book?
No.
So,
put a few more pages down. You're going to write interesting love interest.
Got a couple of interesting characters.
And a story about a honeymoon.
How about a cruise?
Maybe when you guys go away on a cruise?
I'm sure it'll be great. Oh, thank God. I didn't think I could go any higher.
That's because you started high. You got to start
low. Yeah,
you
got to start
low,
dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, before everything fell apart, Travis and I were doing that to each other for a while.
Maybe that's why it fell apart.
Can I write a new bit today?
Put something down on a page? Talking about new life experiences?
New character, maybe?
Interesting punchline.
I'm sure everyone will love it.
So where are you registered?
I was trying to think for a witty comeback, but I'm very tired.
Here they call it Spartacus. But I don't know what it's called in your town.
Yeah.
Dance and dams, meats and tans.
You damn right. Right.
And now leather thongs.
Yes.
Gold bikini bras too.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Those are coming in next week.
I'm excited about where this company is heading. This type of forward progression is necessary.
We've got your meats. We've got your lingeries. We've got your lubes and oils. We've got your seasonings. We've got your chains, whips.
We've got your sister. I mean, new stock.
We might have your sister.
Pretty sure we did at one time.
We can let you check the back, but can't guarantee she'll be there.
I can't guarantee you're going to come back either.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
I know baby tastes best.
So tender.
Do you have any more of that grandmother? It was really tender.
Eh, sorry, sold out, man. She went quick.
We don't have any more grandmother, but we do have baby in stock.
We have baby McNuggets.
Ooh, veal.
So tender.
Okay, I'm writing that one down. We have baby McNuggets. Ooh, veal.
Yes. So aside from the wonderful confusion about your marital status, did you have a nice time?
Oh, we had a great time. The food was just out of this world delicious. Hold on. McNuggets. Ooh, veal.
Really hung up on the new seasonal dish, huh?
I mean, it's spicy, it's tender, it's good. Not a lot of it,
spice.
Though, so you gotta parse it out over a few days.
Goes in crying, comes out screaming.
Well, James, you know, posts in the group chat and says, hey, guys, we're going to talk about whatever. And I was like, well, my mom refers to my boyfriend as son-in-law now, so there's that. And it's in all caps. He screams, we have to talk about this.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
I
don't know if it's just wishful thinking on her part or...
I think it is because... listeners of this show and people who know Samantha know she's had a very colorful dating life.
Very.
I remember...
putting it mildly.
When I met her, there were three guys that were top of her mind. It was hot black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hot English guy.
Hot Hispanic guy.
Hot Hispanic guy, and then there was another hot something guy.
But then wasn't there the picnic sandwich man?
Yeah, I was getting
into
that. He was
high school, though. He wasn't, like, hot guy, though.
Oh, my
yeah, that
God.
Was, I think, before military. But, yeah, that was, we refer to him to as pimento loaf guy.
Pimento loaf, that's it. Yes, pimento loaf.
But, yeah, every guy that Samantha talks about is something-something guy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Brian, apparently, is just
so
husband
I'm actually
guy?
Husband guy, apparently.
Yeah. No, son-in-law guy.
Son-in-law guy.
Son-in-law guy.
Son-in-law guy. Oh, that's funny.
He used to be Viking guy.
The Viking biker.
Yeah, Viking mm-hmm. biker guy, and now he's son-in-law guy.
That poor bastard.
Happens to all of us.
It's a hard demotion right
yeah.
there.
And the pay cut, Jesus.
No shit.
No, we need that money. He gets a raise.
Talking about losing the perks. Holy crap.
He doesn't get to check the drip pan anymore.
No.
That would be unfortunate for me.
That is fair.
But he bookmarks a lot more.
Yeah.
It's true.
Like he spends a lot more time taking his shit, in quotations.
Go away, I'm brushing my teeth.
Been in there an hour.
I've got to get every tooth. You have three teeth.
Wow. So this has been Sam's Love Life, brought to you by Not Another Podcast.
Pimento Loaf Guy is my favorite story, though.
Yeah.
He was trying.
That's balling on a budget right there, you know.
He was trying.
He put in the effort.
He did try. I don't want to call it that. To me, it was, what's in the fridge? Okay, let's slap it together. There was no real try in there.
Well, you know, you had to have some sort of game. I mean, either that or your standards were just really bottomed out back then.
I was a sophomore in high school. I didn't know what my
excuses.
Standards were yet.
Excuses.
Oh.
By the way, name of the episode, I didn't know what my standards were yet.
I think
yes,
that's
I'm
anybody who listens to this show
yep.
still doesn't know
it
what their standards
so
are yet. The highbrow type of commentary we provide
What's
here.
What's really great now, Travis, is Danny's going to spend the rest of the episode trying to come up with a better title.
Yep.
I'm gunning for you, Sam.
Bring it, bitch.
Yeah.
And she just
God, I love it when
again.
She talks dirty
yeah.
to me.
Now I got a tough choice. It's either I
can't
didn't know
wait
what my
for
standards
the wedding.
Were or bring it, bitch.
Bring it, bitch. I can't wait for the wedding.
Bring it, you dirty hoe bag.
Oh, fuck yeah. Say it again. Slower.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Would you like to be alone?
Yes, I was just about to say, James, Travis, I think I need a moment with Sam.
You only like her because she's married.
It's called foreplay.
Yeah. Sam, for the win. Mm-hmm. You know how I like it.
I mean, he liked her before, but now he really likes her.
Yeah,
well, now it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It was hard before because she was across the country, so there was that unobtainable
thing.
Yeah,
it was
but
tough.
But now she's across the country and married, so it's like stacking the challenges.
Challenge accepted, Sam.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah! I hear you.
Okay. But officially, I am not married.
Boo.
there's no ring on this finger.
And suddenly Danny's interest just plummets.
Sam. I'm not married and unavailable. Meh. Yeah, that.
Were you guys... Okay, so were you... Travis, are you married?
Not anymore. Okay. I have two under my belt, so okay. I'm hoping the third one sticks whenever
it is
that
the
happens.
Charm.
That's what I hear.
I did find him a great girl.
Oh.
She's super hot, super rich.
Only missing one arm.
No.
Scottish. I mean, she's 100% perfect for him.
Lottery winner and willing to pay 70,000 pounds, Scottish pounds, a year for a companion.
Travis. What the fuck, dude?
Seriously, if that isn't the biggest red flag on the planet,
I don't even know red flags anymore.
Look, I'll show you a picture of her. She's amazingly
hot. She looks like, because she put, 40,000 pounds into plastic surgery right after she won the lottery. And
it worked.
She looks like kind of like a Scottish Mila Kunis.
Dude, if I get that kind of money and I have to pretend like I'm living in a wax museum, I'm cool with that.
Okay, here's the big question. Why can't she keep a man?
Probably because she's batshit psychotic.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, I put up with worse bosses for less.
Wow.
Dude, that's
there
her.
There she is.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What is wrong with you?
But you know she sounds like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers, right?
I'm okay with that.
I got a little garlic walking out.
Actually, I saw an interview with her. She has nothing like that.
Bally.
She's got she's got an amazing voice. I think she's probably I think she's just probably one of those people that's really hard to get along
with. Pretty sure she's a catfish, but that's okay.
She actually had a website up where you had to apply. And then she was going to choose her concubine or whatever the hell she was calling it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Again, I've done worse jobs for a lot less.
I think he would have been great for her and the stories he could tell.
No, shit.
I don't think I could tell any. I think I had to sign a confidentiality agreement. There were no
NDA.
Stories I could tell. Yeah.
NDA of the bedroom. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's just until the contract's up.
Yeah.
Again, I've dealt with worse bosses for less. Just saying. Come on, bro.
No.
And this is one of those moments you got to take one for the team,
I think the benefits outweigh any sort of cons with her because not only are you getting paid, but you get to have sex with her.
At some point.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, if nothing else, you'd be jerking off in a really nice bathroom. I'm just saying.
I mean, the worst that you would have to deal with is a drunk Scottish woman.
Oh, God, that'd be so hot.
Oh, you say that now.
Sweetheart, I don't understand a fucking thing you just said, but...
it's getting me hot.
Yeah, but keep saying it. Oh.
Tell me about the Bruce. Tell me about the Bruce.
When you throw the empty ball at my head, get a little closer. Just a little closer.
Whisper haggis in my ear.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh. Oh.
That's my kind of tartan.
You're my haggis now.
Freedom!
So where I was going to go with this, before that derailment, was
I have never been married. Mm-hmm. You guys all either have been or currently are.
Indeed.
Did you, being male, were you ever pressured from your family? Like, well, why don't you find a girl? Blah, blah, blah. Why don't you settle down?
No.
No, I think my family was shocked that I found a girl twice that said yes.
That's fair.
So that was like, you what? He again? Really? Broken clock, right? Twice a day, right?
That's fair.
That's fair.
For me, no. It was pretty straightforward when I was, getting to the point of asking my wife to marry me. It was kind of an assumption by my family that they just kind of figured it was going to happen. And then when I told them it was going to happen, they were like, yay, that's awesome. Because, yeah, I mean, I kind of have an odd circumstance in the respects that, as I'm sure you and everybody else, the one person who listens knows, having been with my wife as boyfriend and girlfriend since seventh grade really doesn't leave much question about it. You know, by the time you get through high school, you know, I was living on my own a month or two out of high school with a buddy of mine, and it just kind of seemed, well, that's just the normal course of action. And honestly, I was tickled sideways by the idea, and the fact that she said yes and was willing to accept dealing with me for the rest of her life, it never felt like I was pressured. I never felt like she was pressuring me. She actually very seldomly ever even brought it up. But for me, it was just, I knew. So it was just kind of natural order. Nobody ever told me to, well, fuck, you're an adult now, get married, settle down, have kids in a house. I will say the kids conversation had been more pressured, but I've been able to shut that shit down.
Yeah, I still get that.
How old were you?
Let's 12. See. Well, yeah. When we met,
in Alabama, apparently.
Well, yeah. No, actually, let's see. I would have been 19 when I asked her to marry
so
me.
So you're not going to get pressure because there was, I mean,
literally no time
early
for them to
James.
Do it. Yeah.
When I got married,
yeah,
I was 32.
That's a little older. So my first one was 20. So again, I didn't get the pressure from that, and that was relatively. It was a short one. It was a.
Right.
We shouldn't have.
Fair enough.
At all. And after that, people were like, "Dude, don't do that again. We're with you here." And I didn't meet who would become the second Mrs. Travis until 29, almost 30, and we were together. I mean, marriage at just together plus marriage for 12 years,
nice.
Almost 13 years. So that by that time there's no pressure. We did get the kids.
Gotcha.
The pressure. Ultimately from her doctor, which was like, seriously, your clock is. I mean, it's like pre-alarm right now. I can see it. You know.
Like that ticker's just about to go right over the threshold,
and that's when we had McAllen. So
gotcha.
So yeah. So I do have a daughter. She's 8. She's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No pressure. I think ever on the marriage front from anybody.
No, we never got pressure from her folks. Never got pressure from my dad. It was my mom who was and still. Drops little hints.
Oh, about children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is she's not subtle about it. So, and she thinks she's being cute, but it's like,
when are you going to fertilize your eggs?
I don't want kids. Don't want kids. I just want pets.
But
what's wrong
so
with your swimmers, James?
So,
James
mom's
is
going
having
into
flashback.
A hole.
Yep.
And, yeah, no, but as the marriage has gone on, the pressure's just kind of, and it was funny because Bree and I didn't even have the kid conversation until we moved back to Portland, and I kind of looked at her one day and went, you know, we've never had that conversation. She looked at me, she goes, no, we never have, and that's how the conversation started.
That was it.
And we both were of the same mind of like, look, our lives are very complicated, we don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to bring a kid into the world, we want to be able to provide for it.
doubly fair.
And if we don't have the money, we can barely provide for ourselves.
Right.
So it would be selfish and wrong to bring a kid into the world.
That's fair.
If we can't take care of it. And her parents were fully in support of that. And, you know, and honestly, if I ever had the money, I think I'd rather adopt.
Yeah.
There's too many kids out there. I don't need a genetic clone of me out there.
For me,
neither do we. Honestly.
And for me, it was
so many people say that.
I know.
And you wonder why.
Oh, I don't wonder.
No.
I know me. I've met me.
The thing about it was, though, is it's like, you know, we got a lot of pressure for a while there, especially in the early years of our marriage. You know, everyone kept wondering, okay, when are you guys going to crap out a kid?
Could you say it again, please?
Ah, Siri.
Okay.
Sorry, my Siri just opened up and was like listening to our conversation. Fuck you, Siri.
Fuck you, Siri.
Alexis better.
But,
I'm
no,
sorry. I can't
I've got
help
that
you
bitch
conceive.
Around here, too.
Yeah, fuck that bitch.
And Cortana.
Ugh, what a whore.
That name just sounds
But no, it was, you know, we got a lot of that pressure early on. And, you know, Josie and I, we've had that conversation many, many times. If I have my druthers about it, and much like you, if I felt like I was in a financial stable enough place, I did make one stipulation on the whole, you know, idea of children. It was like one of the main rules that I wanted to set down was we would be in a house.
Yeah.
I did not want to raise a child in an apartment. It's just a preference. I grew up in a house. You know, I was fortunate in that. And I wanted to pass that on. So the one thing I told her starting out early on, I was like, I don't want to have a kid until we have a house and we're stable. Once we're stable, I mean, like my parents had always told me, you know, you figure it out. You make it work. You find a way to pay for it, essentially.
Yeah, that's what my friends always say.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm sure that's accurate. But for me, it was a matter of I needed certain things to be already established before I was willing to pull that trigger. And then as time went on, variables changed, and it became something more along the lines of this would just be irresponsible.
Yeah.
And so at this point, I'm actually very happy with the idea that I'm looking down the barrel of future tense as I just get to spend time with my wife, and we get to act like fucking children, and no one can give a shit about it.
I will say,
because we don't have to be responsible adults.
It is nice in that if we want to take a trip or we want to do, we don't have to worry about
babysitters,
or can we afford the whole family? Or
yeah,
it's just us.
Poor Travis.
What?
Nothing.
As a parent, and yes, I'm absolutely being judgmental here. You guys sound like you're talking about dogs. It is so different.
Well,
and
yeah, of course.
Nobody's ready. But yeah, I can't have dogs because if I want to go on a trip or a cruise, I have to board them and I have to get home and walk them and feed them and shit.
Oh, God
and
damn it,
they
it
always
sucks.
Want toys and fuck. Sometimes they need training and God damn it, you have to teach them where to pee. God damn it.
And they eat.
All the fucking time.
All the fucking time. Don't get me wrong, I'm coming at it from an analytical point of view.
And I understand the parenting. We can only come at it from an analytical point of view because we don't have...
And I was at that point of view until the doctor basically said to us, you will not have another chance. You can't. It is now or never. And at the time, we had all those checkmark boxes that you guys were worried about, right?
Right.
We had all of that. And it was like, okay, let's do this. And we did. And within 2 years, you could scratch off every checkmark box that we had. Because the marriage fell apart, shit happened, it's not
true. Perfect.
And I don't regret having a child at all.
Oh, why?
Because you do not understand true unconditional love until you have an offspring and you've bonded with it. There is nothing I have felt anywhere. You can have every intellectual argument you want. But once you have that, everything changes and your world is no longer about you. You don't even care about you anymore. It is about them. And so, yeah, I mean, I remember being on your side of the argument because we were married 8 years before we were forced into the position to make that decision. And again, I don't regret the decision. But it was truly, I mean, you guys still could if you wanted to, right?
Oh, yeah.
We were not facing that choice. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
No.
But so I understand all of those arguments against it. And yes, there is a part of me that is a little envious because there are certain responsibilities.
Oh,
and it's not the stuff that you have to do. Honestly, it's the stuff that you fuck up that I wish that I didn't have to go through anymore. It's the, and every fucking parent does it. There is no parent out there that does not fuck up their kids intentionally or otherwise, right?
You will
unintentionally fuck up your kids in some way or another, and those are the things that I'm envious about, because I wish I did not have the responsibility of fucking up my own kid.
Can
accident.
We share the Halloween story as an
oh
example?
Oh my god, yes. Okay.
This happened last year.
Yes.
I love this story.
So she's 7
she
at
was
this
7,
point.
Yeah.
And I've always been into scary movies and scary stuff. And as she was growing up, there was stuff like she'd watch Monster High, right? She loved the TV show Monster High, and you know it was based off all of the Universal, you know, monsters. And she had this little thing. Well, so we were at one of those little game area places that you go that have, you know, like bouncy houses and arcade games for tickets that you turn in for garbage toys.
So like Chuck E. Cheese or Wonderland.
It's
kind of
like
yeah.
that, right? It was a one-off that, you know, it wasn't a chain. It was just a one-off. And we had had our full day, and it was early October. No, it was early September. And she started talking about Halloween and that this year she wanted to go as a zombie. And I'm like, oh, it's finally happened. She's crossed over. Yes, the genetics are working. Yes. And I'm like, oh, but I got a better idea. I got a much better idea. You are the perfect size and age right now. We need to make you the Ring Girl. The girl that climbs out of the well in the ring. And she's like, oh, I heard of that. She goes, but I don't remember it. So I pull out my phone and I go to YouTube. And there's just that scene of them watching the video the first time. And it shows the little girl in the white gown with the dark hair. And she does the weird walk and then climbs through the TV. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know this, blah, blah, blah. And then we were all excited. And it was great. And we had this great time of blah, hugs, bye. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. 3 days later, I get a phone call from my ex-wife.
Womp womp.
Did you show our daughter a video of The Ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Because she hasn't slept in 3 fucking days. And she keeps running into my room saying the Ring Girl's going to get her anytime it's dark. You traumatized her. And I'm like, but she was so cool with it at the time. Yeah, well, she's fucking 7. 7-year-olds are cool with everything in the moment. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scar her emotions. I said, dude, tell her it's fake. Here, I'll send her a picture of the actress. Just show her that this is the actual girl and it was a costume and blah. Yeah. So you can unintentionally completely fuck over your kid without even trying.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is Parenting 101 brought to you by Not Another Podcast.
You see why I love this story?
No shit.
Damn it.
Fucking beautiful. And you know, don't get me wrong, from like the casual observer of the outside world, don't get me wrong, there's always been a part of me that has desired to be a father just in general. I've always wanted that. I've always wanted to basically pass on what knowledge I have, you know, the experiences I've had, you know, everything that I grew up with my father that I held so important. I have always had a longing to pass that on. But circumstances being what they is, that's not something in the cards for me so easily. And it took a while to get comfortable with that notion. Because at first, introduction of it, it wasn't like we were planning it.
Right.
But that kind of broke my spirit a little bit.
So, but James brings up a good point. I mean, there really is always an option for you guys.
Right.
And if your circumstances change and you can check off the majority of boxes that currently you guys
right.
have said, I don't have these checked. As a parent, to have a young person like that you bond with at such an emotional level. Because I thought the same thing. When my ex-wife was pregnant, all of that, you think through it all. It's like, oh, I'm going to pass on all my knowledge. And, oh, I'm going to make sure that they're into theater and that they read all the great books like Lord of the Rings and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And
they
I'm going to introduce them to
the
Monty
movie,
Python.
Dad.
And she's going to be into pirates and Star Wars, not Disney princesses. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah,
No.
No.
She loves the color pink. She knows every fucking Disney princess. She thinks pirates are stupid, and she doesn't get Star Wars. And she's tried. Star Wars, she watched the first one. It was like, this is dull. Can we watch, like, Paw Patrol? And I'm like, no! You get to a point, though, where the thing with your kids is... You just want them happy and healthy and to discover who they are as a person and not impart your own bullshit on them, because you find out real quick.
Oh,
they are their own.
Well, and that was the thing, too, that I was
individual.
One of the parts that I looked forward to, the idea of actually being a parent, was finding that out. Because it's like, if you look at my mother and my father, I share very little to any interest that they did when they were my age. Granted, my mom already had a child by the time she was my age. Actually, matter of fact, she had three. But still, it's a matter of, like, my father had his thing where, you know, he loved cars, he loved racing, all that shit. Now, I can get into a little bit of racing, but I get pretty done with it real quick. You know, and my mom, she loved, like, you know, the Ann Rule books and things like that, which is great and all, but I can't fucking stand them. Me, I was always into horror movies. They really weren't. Like, my mom and my dad, they would watch them and they enjoy them. My dad thought they were mostly stupid, but that's because, you know, most of them are. But at the same time, it's like my path diverted to a very fun, dark place, you know. It's like, I really enjoyed the fucking scary shit that was out there. They liked it on Halloween, and then that was it. And I wanted to see that progression, that natural evolution of what a child being the product of myself and my wife would turn into. Considering that, you know, my wife, she likes her private time. She's an introvert by all accounts. I, on the other hand, am more of an extrovert. I do like my time by myself, but a lot
you were
less.
A pervert.
That too.
Oh, okay.
So again, it was always going to be fascinating to me to find out. Okay, where would they find themselves? Would they be somebody who just likes to be on their own, do their own fucking thing, and whatever that is? You know, I was the only thing I would have ever introduced to my child that I would have kind of made an effort to make sure was something relevant in their life would be music. It's like either you listen to it and you enjoy it and listen to everything you can get your hands on. Find something that just speaks to you. If you like it enough and it's on an instrument that we can, you know, easily procure, we'll fucking do it, you know. I wanted to boost that.
Right.
And that would be the only aspect I would boost. Everything else, if they end up being into fucking sports and they wanted to play fucking baseball, football, shit, I don't care if they want to play lacrosse. I'm cool with that. Not really my shtick, because watching sports is only oh so fun. But you better believe I'd be at every game.
Right.
And, you know, stuff like that. I was cool with that. And I was excited to see where the nerddom goofiness, you know, that is my wife and mine's character would have developed.
Right.
It's like, watch, I'd have ended up with fucking Michael J. Fox as, you know, the kid from the Seaver Boy. Yeah, and so I had been raising a young Republican, and it's like, oh, God damn it.
Where did we go wrong? So
oh,
and,
shit.
And
I
again,
fucked up so bad.
My daughter is only 8 now, so there's a lot. We haven't even hit the teen years, which everybody
good
tells
luck,
me,
buddy.
Oh, Yeah, it's...
Well, that's when...
There are no atheists in foxholes. but the one thing that I have realized, and I realized it pretty quick, is rather than push stuff on your kid that you want your kid to be into, have enthusiasm for your own loves and be passionate about the stuff that you hold dear to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And show that as an example, because there is strength in being passionate about the stuff that you love personally. Now, there are a couple of things that she like dabbled in because she saw my passion for it. One of them was music, and she's really into that on her own. And I encourage it, but I don't pressure. But some of the other things, it's like, nah, she has no interest in. But she's passionate about other things. Here is one thing, and this I didn't push on her, and believe me, my ex didn't. She's a gamer girl. She has taken to video games at a young age like you would not believe. And trust me, that was not me. I tried to keep her away from those because of her mom.
Right.
And nope. So I think those are my genetics showing rearing its ugly head.
They're just screaming through a little bit there.
Hey, Sam, what about you? And I have no idea your background or your age or anything, but...
She's 26.
Is that emotional clock?
She's 16, dumbass.
Oh, fuck you. She would have been too young to enter the military, dumb fuck. God.
Not in Canada.
Or Korea, maybe.
Or Korea.
So just a quick rundown. Have a terrible relationship with my dad, wonderful relationship with my mother. Have not spoken to my dad since I was 18. I grew up watching horror movies. 22. I'm sorry?
I haven't spoken to my dad since I was 21, so
yeah.
you got me beat.
Kindred spirits.
Yep.
I grew up with horror movies. I was never filtered. At 7 years old, I would have been watching all of that, so I have a very skewed perception as to what is appropriate for young eyes and ears.
It makes her a lot of fun at parties.
My friends with kids will be like, oh, well, do you think that this will be okay? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And everyone else is like, no. When it comes to marriage, I've never felt like the need to be married. When I was younger, I was like, I'm going to be married by 21. I'm going to have kids by 23, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
That's society's... That's conditioning.
Exactly. And then once I got closer to those ages, I was like, no, maybe married by 25, kids by 27. And then I got closer to those ages, and I was like, yeah, no. I'm perfectly fine.
And now she's 66, and her mom's really pressuring her.
You better do it now!
Well, my family's never really pressured me a whole lot. It's just my mom would rather me have kids then get married, which is fine, you know, whatever. I've looked into adoption, single parent adoption, single parent.
So she's gonna buy a van and a lot of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So I've looked into single parent options until this guy came around.
Is the bridegroom there?
He's upstairs playing his games.
Good man.
A gamer.
Good man.
He's playing
his games.
He's out of my hair. So, but
bookmark it.
I don't know. Kids is one of those things that there's a portion of me that's like, yes, kids, definitely, and another portion that's like, no, I'm good. Don't want them. Don't need them. But I love kids. I've worked with kids in the past, and my friends have kids. But yeah, I turn 35 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And my biological clock is like pounding. So even if you don't want kids, and this is something I've learned, even the women who don't want kids and go through with not having them, they still have to go through that biological shift.
Right.
And it's literally like when I see a little kid or like one of our best friends is pregnant with number 3. It's like a literal string on my ovaries that's like pulling me towards.
Remember, Sam, if the egg sinks in the water, it's still good, but you know, yours might be floating these days.
Wow!
And there's the title of the episode. Just wow!
Wow!
Wow! I am aware of this. Thank you. about my intending never being able to have children, but I'm about to hit that age where it's going to be difficult.
Right.
The next 4 years really are still relatively safe, but starting at about 39 to about 42, it's like every year the risks start growing, kind of like the Richter scale, where it's not like incremental, it's like exponential. Mm-hmm. That now, it doesn't mean that you can't.
Well, no.
It just means that, you know, you got to be careful and you want to start doing genetic testing and blah, 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 all of that.
Yeah. Dude, my kindergarten teacher actually made the newspaper way back in the day. She was 51 years old and had her first child. And it's like, so it's doable. Yeah. It's possible.
Well, and with modern technology and things like that, I remember that age keeps getting pushed back. I remember when I was younger, it was, if you don't start having kids by 30, you're going to have complications.
Right.
Then it was 35, and now it's 39. And so it's just like with the betterment of our science and our doctors, you know, women can do these things later in life. Now, the one benefit I see to potentially having children later is I've learned from so many mistakes from friends, stupid shit that they've done, which everyone's going to do them. I'm going to do stupid shit too. Just because I know of the stupid shit that they are doing does not mean that I'm going to deal with the same stupid
shit. You're going to come up with new and glorious stupid shit. Stupid shit that you've accomplished with years of wisdom. I've got all of
you guys taught me nothing.
Shit. You think that stupid shit? Hold my mimosa.
Oh,
there's
the title of the episode.
Hold my mimosa.
Yes.
Oh, Travis swinging in.
Travis is on the board.
But yeah, it's. I think I would like to have children. Like, you know, I just bought a house and I really like it. And I do have one friend that her and her husband have one child. They did not plan on having children, but they were much like, you know, Danny, they were high school sweethearts. They've been married for 10 plus years. They're my age, you know, so it's like, cool. So they've been together for a very, 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 very long time. And they have one kid. He's cute as a button, but they never let their kids slow them down. That was one thing I really admired about her. And I hope that I could be that kind of parent, is that some people, like, their entire lives come to a screeching halt and then they helicopter.
Right.
And that's not healthy. Melissa and her husband, I mean, they love camping. They were out camping like within the month. I mean, it did not slow them down at all. They still did what they wanted to do. And I was like, so what's the difference? She was like, you just plan a little more and pack a little more. She's like, that's it.
Yep, that's fair.
And I was like, cool. So I really admire her for that. And I hope that I can, like, not put my dreams on hold just because I have a kid. Because you shouldn't.
And not only should you not, and this was, again, one of those things that I figured out in the last 8 years, you still having dreams and aspirations for you personally are the example that you need to set for your own kids so that they grow up going, my dreams and aspirations are valid, and I'm still going to chase after them, regardless of my spouse, regardless of my kids, regardless of society. I matter. And if you don't make yourself a priority in any relationship, whether it's with a spouse or a kid or whoever, it's going to set a bad example.
That's fair.
I've always said that unless you can make yourself happy, you can't make other people happy.
Yes.
You have to be happy with yourself before you can, you know, make your spouse happy, your kids happy, your job, you know. You have to figure out what it is inside you and you know, do that to make yourself happy. And then you can,
That's completely accurate.
Yeah. So, and for myself, since we're on this note, I know myself well enough to know that, and like Travis said, you don't know that kind of bond or
right.
The thing is I do. I know myself well enough to know, and I know that what a kid would mean to me and having that person and watching them grow and guiding them on the path. I mean, letting them find their way, but, you know, guiding them when they have this. That I would feel selfish if I couldn't provide for that kid to find those things and be able to, you know, not just feed and clothe and all that, but just to really take care of them, whatever they wanted. So,
and that's fair. And again, it's
all while not raising a spoiled brat.
Exactly.
And that's, I mean, you have to find that balance, but it's like,
I would still want to make sure not only is the kid clothed and fed and everything, you know, medically and all that stuff taken care of, but also being able to go, the kid go, oh, I want to do baseball.
Right.
Let's go get you some gear. You know.
No, I get where you're coming from.
Here's the only thing that I will throw into the mix is look at your own childhood. Was it about the caliber of shit that your folks bought you or provided for you, or was it the time that they took with you?
Well, and
because that is the shit that is the most important.
You're right.
You're 100% right, and I was getting to that point. Because I would want to be 100% the opposite of what my parents were.
Yep.
Right.
I want to be supportive. I want to be a teacher. I want to do all the stuff that my parents weren't. And I love my parents, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they made a lot of stupid, selfish choices for themselves. And like you were saying, you have to have dreams to help inspire your kid.
Yep.
My parents didn't. And they made poor life choices that affected myself and my siblings very badly.
The only thing, and another point that I will throw in, and then I'll let you jump in, is
fucking jerk.
Is you can take that into the extreme as well. Is you can go so the opposite of your parents that you are smothering them with love and attention and affection and Jesus Christ, Dad, fucking go away.
Yeah.
Good God.
I'm trying to masturbate
it's
over
not
here.
Mine.
It's like what Danny
here, son,
said.
Let me show you the proper way.
And it's like what Danny said, though, too. You have to give them room to figure out who they are. And it's finding not only for them finding that balance, but you finding that balance where do I need to step in here? Is that too much?
Right.
You have to. My thing is, and Travis, I think you do it with your daughter really well, being open and having open lines of communication.
Yep.
Damn. I mean, that's really – that's the key in
it's
any
important.
Relationship.
Yeah.
There was a stupid Facebook meme, but I live my life by Facebook memes.
That's okay.
They have helped me more than Oprah ever
Coffee
fucking
ones.
Did. Thanks, Oprah.
That and Death Wish Coffee.
Yes. Oh. but there was this meme of this just giant guy, this giant, like, ooh, probably professional wrestler, but one of these built motherfuckers, right? Just, and there's this tiny little girl, right, probably 3 years old. And the meme basically says, if a three-year-old hands you a fake telephone, you fucking answer it.
Yes, yeah. I love that
and
meme.
And that, the deepness of that was, if you don't pay attention to them when they hand you the fake phone at three, they're not going to come to you when they've got a problem when they're 13 or when they're 19. You have to always answer the fake phone.
Right.
You have to be there for them. And there are – I am not in a position anymore to provide the material things that I was when she was born, right?
Right.
But what I've found is the time that we do have together and the relationship that we have built together is strong and it's forged in love. She never doubts that I love her. And above anything else, if that's the only thing I impart upon her and she gets everything else from her mom or her stepdad or her schools or her peers or whatever, but she never once doubts that her dad loves her, then it's a win for me.
All right. And again, you know, the opposite scenario of what James was talking about, you know, for me when I was growing up, I always felt like I had a really good example of exactly what we're talking about. Like, we did live in a house, and it was an old house, nice house, you know, but we never had a lot, but my parents learned how to stretch so much that they could give us what we needed.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where we never wanted for, like, food or, you know, school clothes, shit like that. My dad worked his ass off when I was a kid, you know, doing long-haul truck driving. So he was making pretty decent money, which unfortunately meant that he was only home for 1 or 2 days a week, maybe. And, you know, that started to kind of, you know, thrust their marriage into troubles. But even once they divorced, the one thing that I loved about my parents was both my mother and my father established very early on that this is something that's between them, had nothing to do with us, And all they're going to aim to do at this point is now you will have two places that you can feel safe, comfortable, and you can always trust that we're going to be there. And for me, it was awesome because both of them knew that I had my own thing. They knew that I had my own path that I was walking, but I tell you no lie, every time I even talked about something that just kind of went right over their head, they would try to figure it out. You know, I start talking about guitar tabs and shit like that, and I'm playing these songs that, you know, maybe my old man had listened to. He would sit there and listen to me play, and granted, I had the parental, oh, dude, that sounds awesome, you know better, but, you know, it was still appreciated. But when my parents needed me, I knew that they could count on me just as much as I counted on them, mm-hmm. which is why, you know, I, towards the end of the time that I lived at the house, close to the end of my high school years, I kind of became the house counselor. You know, it's like my mom would come to me with her problems and it's like, what am I doing wrong? And the cool part about it is her and I had such a good relationship. I would be the first one to say, Mom, you're fucking up, dude. You need to square this shit, you know. I mean, she'd have a boyfriend who was an asshole. It's like, you need to get rid of his ass. I'm sorry. And, you know, it was tough for a while, you know, stuff like that. But I loved the fact that she trusted me with information and valued my opinion enough to go, you know what, you're right. Let's fucking square this up. So for many years, that's what I was. I was the house counselor. And I got that way because... during the divorce, my father and my mother would both complain to me about the situation and the circumstance. And my father used to go off on the rails about it. You know, he was fucking mad because his idea was he was going to stay married until the day he died. And so this whole thing is fucking bullshit. And he would fucking rail on the situation. But by the end of the conversation, he goes, I'm fucking mad at your mother. I'm pissed off at her. You don't get to be. That's your mother, you love her, you respect her, you do everything she fucking tells you, and don't ever question why. And it was like, I got a very firm understanding that although he was mad at her, he was venting to me so he could feel better about the situation in and of itself, and it was like, I'm cool with that, dude. That doesn't hurt my feelings, you know. Everything he was saying was valid, and my mom would counteract and do the exact same thing. She would tell me the things that are bugging her. And when they would get into pissing matches, when he would show up or things like that, I understood where they were coming from. And that helped my perspective grow. So even at the worst, I learned so much from my parents. And when they trusted me to tell me how they felt, it took our relationship fucking skyrocketing. Because I knew that they trusted me as much as I trusted them. And that in and of itself was the base foundation for how we lived. And I love that, and I still love that to this day. I mean, shit, when I was on my way over here, I was talking to my mom on the phone, pulling up next to Travis. I was like, Ma, I got to go to podcast. Talk to you later. You know, and it's cool because they didn't really do anything except just be supportive. You know, it's like when I was growing up, if I wanted to try something, they got me into it. Yeah, I didn't have the great gear or anything like that. I probably had a bunch of hand-me-down shit from when my brother tried it, but it was okay. You know, we made it work. If I like it, I stuck with it. If I didn't like it, well, that was the end of that, and that's okay. You know, I mean, I tried out for football and just was not my bag. A, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing out there, and B, the fucking helmet gave me migraines. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, nope, I'm out. Baseball, loved that shit. Comfortable, looked cool, loved the sock suspenders. Still wish I had some. But, you know, they were very supportive in any endeavor that I chose to look into, you know. When it came to movies, you know, that was my birthday present from my grandparents, you know, my aunts and uncles. They'd get me VHSs of fucking movies, and it's like, fuck yes, dude, throw that shit in. You know, everything from George to the Jungle to fucking Fievel Goes West, fuck yeah, I'm all about it, let's do it. You know, and they were very supportive, but again, we didn't have so much to where they were like, oh yeah, let's get you the best of the best. It's like, no, understand, this is as good as we can do right now. Get to it. And the only reason, like, music was so unique for me was because both my brother and my sister wanted to play an instrument. So my brother's the eldest, my sister's middle, I'm youngest. So my brother wanted to play saxophone. So they bought him a saxophone, they got him lessons, and he dropped it and let it go, and that was it, and he never touched it ever again. My sister wanted to learn how to play guitar, so they bought her an acoustic guitar, got her lessons at the college, you know, and she went through all that, put it down, and she... kind of lightly plays now, but honestly, she has never gone above where she was. Me, I come into it, it's like, all right, I'm in high school. I want to learn how to play guitar. No. So I was like, fuck. But the cool thing about my parents was, is they were like, you figure out how to buy it, and we'll get it done. So I took an under-the-table job putting labels on bottles, fucking saved up some cash, and bought a rig from my buddy. You know, it was a piece of shit, but I had a couple of buddies who showed me how to play power chords, and I fucking took off. And they were very supportive of it, and later on, they were the ones who bought me my first bass, because I told them I wanted to move in that direction. After they had seen I'd already taken on, you know, this endeavor, they actually did do what they could to support me. It wasn't top-tier gear by any stretch. My first bass was my four-string Ibanez, and I think my mom got it for $100 out of a pawn shop, which fucking perfect for me. And my old man bought me my very first bass amp, which, you know, was maybe a foot tall and foot wide. It wasn't great, but fuck, it amplified it. And so, again, I always appreciated that they did what they could. And they were always supportive and always open to my little endeavor, so long as it didn't go down any paths they deemed bad, you know. Right. Start smoking crack and shit, you know, I'd have got my ass whooped. Stuff like that. And I was well aware of that, which is why I never did that.
All listening to you is making me do is really, really hating my parents. So we're going to end this.
Yeah, I had a very different experience.
Yeah, mine was very different.
Very different.
See, and again, I've always told people I'm a terrible metal musician by heart because my life just hasn't sucked nearly enough to produce good metal. You know, I should
and
just
it
not
shows.
Be able to. Yeah, I know. I know. My shit's happy and upbeat and super tickled. Yeah.
You're supposed to suffer.
Seriously, man.
That is an untapped market, Danny.
What's that?
That is an untapped market.
Right. Happy metal.
Do sunshine metal. Make it a thing.
Oh,
own
fuck
it.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Drive forward. I think
sunshine,
it's great.
Unicorns, and rainbows.
Yes.
There's your band.
Sunshine
name.
Metal.
Fucking
full of self-esteem. I am confident. I have no relationship issues. And my bank account has a positive balance.
Untapped market. Do it.
Travis? I eat 3 square meals a day of healthy foods.
I snack on almonds if I'm feeling peckish.
For only the raw ones.
I love it.
Sunshine and rainbows, everything is great.
God.
We're unicorn kittens and we'll be back!
Oh, singing about how you have a retirement plan.
401k! 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 Pension! 401k!
By the way, new episode title, Unicorn Kittens.
Yeah! Travis stealing.
Okay, that's it for us. We will be back next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.